Jesus called to his friends as they were rocked by fear, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Find shalom and rest in the midst of the daily anxiety." And now our prelude. Please stand as you are able, and we'll have the call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Holy One, we come with thanks on our lips. Sing to God and sing praises. Rise up to the song of our souls. Tell us God's wonderful works. Our hearts find joy in seeking you. Seek the Lord and claim God's strength. We might grow in power and might. Remember all that God has done through your lives, through every challenge. Praise the Lord. We praise you, Lord. Now we'll have the opening prayer and we can recite that together. Eternal God, in visions and dreams, you offer us hope for a new tomorrow. Amidst life's storms and raging waters, be with us in our time of need. Reveal us to the great works capable of, that we may rise above your narrow purpose and be the service to the world. Bless our journeys, that it may be said to us, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You remain standing, and let's sing the opening hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Friends, you may be seated, and as you are seating yourselves, would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, be with us. Be with us today as we join with each other and with you, as we sit in your presence and we remember that we are loved and called to love. Lord, we ask that you're with those who are in the hospital, those who are dealing with life-threatening issues or long-term illnesses. Lord, we pray that you give them strength, that you give them healing, and that you give wisdom and endurance to the doctors and the nurses, and peace and patience to those of us who love them. God, give us hope that your healing is something we can trust in. Lord, we pray for all our college students who are returning to college or going for the first time. Lord, bless this season of their lives, bless their roads, bless the paths that they take and the things that they learn, both in the classroom and outside of it. God, be with them. Be with them and help us support them as well so that the community may continue on, that everyone may know that they are loved, that people may walk in paths of rightness. And God, we thank you for every good thing that you've given us. Lord, continue to bless us and continue to open our eyes and our hearts that we may see those blessings. God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks and we ask that whatever prayers might still be here within this room or online or on the radio, God, we ask that you hear them as well, wherever we might be, whenever we might be. We ask that you hear them and help us see how you are still moving in the world, how you are still walking on water, how you are still calling us into fullness of life. God, bless us. Hear our prayers. And Lord, may our hope and our trust be in you. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so with the confidence of the children of God, we invite you to pray with us now the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Kids, come on up.
Good morning. Alrighty. Before I forget, who would like this?
There you are.
You're getting faces from your parents. Swanson's over here next week. Give it to my kids. Alright. Fillmore's, you're up. There you are. Alrighty. So Lucas has blessed us with a beautiful blue pencil sharpener. That's pretty cool. All right, so I see your pencil sharpener. I raise you a number 2 pencil. All right. What do we use pencils for? To write essays, to write stuff and draw, right? All righty. Jolie, will you do me a favor and draw a flower? How's that working out?
Not very well.
Not very well? Okay. So it's not doing its purpose, is it? No? All right. So, who here has ever heard that God has a purpose or a plan for all of us? Right? We've all heard that, right? All right. Well, if you haven't heard it, now you are. God has a plan and a purpose for you. Sometimes it can be a little confusing on knowing what that plan and purpose is, isn't it? Yeah? All right. So, what if I told you that there is a way that God sharpens us like we can sharpen a pencil? All right. So, one way that we can... Here, does someone want to twist this for me? All right. So, one way to figure out what our plan and purpose is by reading the Bible. You want to give it a couple of twists? I'm not sure. Maybe this way? Oh, it's electric. I think we just push it down. Ah, it's electric. Alrighty. Cool. Alrighty. Another way is by praying. Alrighty. Do you want to try it again? Alrighty, so by reading our Bible and by praying, what are we looking like? We're getting closer. Do you think that talking to our friends at church will help too? We're getting closer. Maybe by talking to the pastor? Oh, there we go. How are we looking? Ah, we're getting closer. All right, let's keep reading our Bible. There we go. Just hold it right on in there.
Oh, it's working.
It is working. I've never seen one like this. I'm mesmerized. We are getting there. So, sometimes it takes a little bit to figure out what our purpose is, right? I mean, let's see. We're what, between the ages of 2 and 12 up here? Well, I'm 23, but 11? Yeah. So, we're all still pretty young. So, our plans can change, purposes can change, right? We can have, like, 7 different purposes in life. Oh, we're getting there. Sometimes it takes a bit to grow into what we're supposed to be. Just like it takes a little bit for this pencil to get sharpened. Be looking good? Maybe a little bit more. All right, what do we got? All right, see if Jolie can draw with that. Alrighty, let's see it. Okay. We have a flower. All right. Should we pray, friends? Alrighty. Hey, God. Thank you so much for having a plan for me. And thank you for being patient as I grow into that plan. Amen.
Thank you, Addison. That was done well. Today's scripture comes from Romans 10, 5 through 15. And I was reading through that prior to today, and I was thinking, this seems pretty choppy to me, a little difficult to understand. I read it to Phyllis. She thought kind of a little bit that way too. So I called Luke and I said, do you think I could change the scripture to a contemporary English version? And he said, that would be fine. So in your bulletin, it is going to be different than probably what's up on the screen, because I called Jim and he made the changes at the last minute to change it up on the screen. But it is The kind of general thought is that I learned from contemporary English version is that anyone can be saved. So I'll begin. Moses said a person could become acceptable to God by obeying the law. He did this when he wrote, "If you want to live, you must do all the law commands." But people whose faith makes them acceptable to God will never ask, "Who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down?" Neither will they ask, "Who will go down into the world of the dead to raise him to life?" All who are acceptable because of their faith simply say, "The message is as near as your mouth or your heart." And this is the same message we preach about faith. So you will be saved if you honestly say, "Jesus is Lord." And if you believe with all your heart that God raised him from the death, God will accept you and save you. If you truly believe this and tell it to others, the scripture says, "No one who has faith will be disappointed, no matter if that person is a Jew or Gentile. There is only one Lord, and he is generous to everyone who asks for his help. All who call out to the Lord will be saved." How can people have faith in the Lord and ask him to save them if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? And how can anyone tell them without being sent by the Lord? The scripture says it is a beautiful sight to see even the feet of someone coming to preach the good news. So next now we have a highlight time special music.
Clara, thank you. It's wonderful. At this time, we have a moment to remember that God does provide, and that God does care for us, and that God does save. Friends, if you are moved to help partner with us as we proclaim the good news, as we share the love of Christ to our community, then we are passing the plates around for you to help us with those endeavors. For those who give online already or through EFT, thank you. Your support is greatly, greatly appreciated. But in all things, it's not just our money, it's not just our time or our talents or our efforts or our prayers. There are many different ways that we honor God and care for each other and bear one another's burdens. And so, my encouragement to all of us during this time is to reflect on the ways that God has been good and provides for us, and the ways that we have been called to provide for each other. Would you bless the offering with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have provided for us, that what you first gave to us, we return to you, so that your community might be blessed, so that the world might know that you are risen, so that your love and your grace and your mercy might be in the hearts of every person alive. God, we give you thanks. We are grateful for the ways that you continue to be with us, and we ask that you bless us and help us be a blessing. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so we invite you to stay standing as we join in our next hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. You can find it on 474 in your thick blueback hymnal or up on the screens. You may be seated. Our gospel today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 23 through 33. This is the gospel according to Matthew. And after Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." the good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. We talk often from this passage about Peter walking on water, about the grace of God and how God might save us, but something we don't always pay attention to is the storm. What's the best storm you can remember? What's the best storm you can remember? What is it? December when? A December tornado. That would have been crazy. Anyone else? What's the best storm you can remember? No one? Does no one here like storms? Halloween night storm. Does anyone remember? I know someone here was out walking their dog. Does anyone remember that lightning strike that was, what, 2 weeks ago here in town? What cemetery was that? Oakland. Did anyone feel that? I know. It was around 11 o'clock at night a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden the brightest flash I've ever seen happened, and the sound was deafening, and I could feel my entire house shake. It was something. But the best storm I can ever remember was the moment where my oldest, Nora, was old enough where we could finally pass her off to the grandparents, and Sarah and I could finally have some time to go out and be by ourselves and take a weekend alone. We decided we were going to go out to Red Rock, just over by Pella, southeast of Des Moines. There's a lake down there, and there's a camping spot where you can hike into. So we decided we were going to hike into the camping spot and spend some time together. And I got to tell you, it was a short hike, but it was a wonderful hike. The kind where as you're crossing the stream, you step into the mud and you pull your foot up and your shoe comes off and stays in the ground. Amen. Hallelujah. But we get to the campsite and we set everything up and it's just lovely. The weather's gorgeous. It's a cool 78, 80 degrees. There's a little bit of wind. It's perfect. And so we bed down for the night, and because it is the age of cell phones, all of a sudden I'm just checking the weather, and do you know what I see? I see a big red dot coming from Des Moines straight our way, and I look at Sarah and I say, I don't know if this is going to turn out all that well. And as it gets closer, the sky gets darker, and you can feel the temperature drop, and the wind picks up. Now, luckily, there was a small little shelter, just one of those picnic areas that was nearby, and so we quick grabbed our stuff out of the tent and took it to the shelter and watched as the lightning bugs just blinked. And then the rain started, and then the rain really started, and the wind picked up, and it felt like the whole structure was being shaken, but I gotta tell you, it was the most incredible storm that I've sat through. The amount of power and wind and lightning and rain that fell down at that time was awe-inspiring. Now, the only bad thing is we didn't bring sleeping bags. It was hot enough out where we said, well, we'll just have a sheet that we'll sleep with. And so when we got back to tent, do you know what happened? The tent was absolutely flooded and that sheet was soaked, and we spent a cold night in water and woke up as early as we could and got out of there. Amen? Amen. And yet, as far as storms go, that wasn't a bad one, was it? It was kind of fun. It was interesting. It was nice to watch it, but we had a safe spot to stay. And at the end of the day, I've got a good story and a good memory out of it. But this storm here that we find in the gospel, this storm here that shakes and rocks the boat, that terrifies the disciples, this storm that Christ leaves the mountaintop to walk out to his disciples for. You know, in other gospels and other renderings of this story or other stories that are told, sometimes Jesus is asleep in the boat, and sometimes the disciples are absolutely panicked and try and wake Christ up to let him know that this is it. This is the end. Say your goodbyes. It's been a good life. But in this story, I find something interesting. See, the wonderful thing about the Gospels is this.
They tell stories that connect with our lives. They help us look through a lens that gives us insight into the things that we might be dealing with today. And so I want to focus on storms. I want to focus on what that storm might be. Of course, those of you who have gone through a few more years than I know that when I say storms, that I don't mean literal storms. I mean the kind of things that whip up in your life and batter you from side to side and throw you all around and keep you on your toes. The kind of things that make your heart stop or that stretch your mind and your will and your soul to the point of breaking. The stuff that you wake up and you say, I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this. How many of you have been there before? How many of you have been there before? See, the story of Jesus walking on water is as much about how we get through storms as it is about how God saves and how God helps us through difficult times. It's as much about realizing that all of us have been here at one point or another, and all of us may be here again. See, the interesting things about storms, and it's one of those kind of quaint little phrases that you hear every once in a while, but I think there's some truth to it. How many of you have heard, well, we're all in the same boat? You've heard that one before? Have you heard the revision of that phrase, of that saying before? We might all be in the same storm, but we might not all be in the same boat. See, even just looking at this story here, Jesus is on a mountaintop. Jesus is on a mountaintop watching this storm roll in, probably knowing that his friends and disciples and loved ones are out on the sea, and he might not be directly in that storm, but his heart is there. And the disciples in the boat are actually being battered by the waves and the wind. They are being sprayed by the sea, and they are wondering how they are going to make it out of this one. And then even when Jesus walks down the mountainside into the water, on top of the water, and comes within shouting distance of the boat, even then, not everyone is in the same boat, are they? Because Jesus is on the water, and soon Peter, God bless Peter, speaks up and says, all right, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. Tell me to come out. And Jesus says, well, hop on out and walk toward me. And in that moment, even though everyone's in the same storm, Peter is on the waves and Jesus is on the waves and the others are in the boat thinking, Pete, you're crazy. You've lost your mind. And then Peter starts to walk on the water, just like Christ does. But even in that moment, the wind and the waves come crowding into his vision and his heart falters and his mind focuses on something else and then he starts to sink. And even then, they might be in the same storm, but Jesus and Pete might be in different boats. It's a hard or difficult or easy thing to remember. It's an easy thing to forget that how many times have we been talking with someone and then we realize they might be going through something that I have no idea about, no understanding of, that I might have sympathy, but empathy is something that I have not yet gained for their situation. How many times have we realized that everyone else has a life on their own? That the struggles that I'm dealing with might pale in comparison to someone else's. Or my struggles might shine brighter than someone else's. That in fact, we all have something we're going through. Amen? Which might be a cold comfort. Which might be something that doesn't quite help us all that much. And yet, Christ on the waves does what? He stands there and he calls Peter, and Peter starts to walk forward, and his heart falters. And Christ does what? He takes his hand and he reaches down, and he doesn't even wait for Peter to grab it. Christ grabs Pete's hand and pulls him back up. See, that's the good news of the gospel. That God will not let you drown, God will not let you sink, God will keep walking with you and give you the strength that you need to continue to take another step. Of that, I am assured. Of that, I have seen in my own life and the lives of others. God will not abandon you. God will not forsake you. No matter what you're going through, no matter how young or how old you are, no matter how insurmountable something might seem, no matter how difficult it is, God will what? Be with you. God will what? Be with you. I hope you know that. I hope, like Romans says, that that is deep within your heart and ever on your lips. I hope that you never forget the love that God has for you. And also, when times are tough, and when storms really do whip up out of nowhere, and when you find yourself reeling and asking, why am I even still doing this? How can I even take another step? Two things that are helpful for this life here and now. For those of us in the midst of the storm, on the waves, sinking, it might be difficult at times, but it truly works. What did Peter stop doing in the midst of that storm? Peter stopped looking at Christ. Peter stopped focusing on Jesus. Peter stopped remembering that God loves him and that God empowers him and that God has made a path for him. Now, Jesus still reached down and pulled Peter out, because at the end of the day, it's the power of God that helps us get through these things. Nevertheless, in those moments where you just seem overwhelmed, again, I've seen this in my own life, I've seen it in the lives of others. If it's possible to just focus on what God has called us to do, to love one another, to help each other walk, to remember that, as some of our old hymns say, it will be well with my soul, that all is well, that even in the midst of it, let God order and provide. Friends, in many ways, that helps us through difficult times. But the second thing that I find interesting here, and it goes back to that question that I've had, is if we're all in the same storm but not all in the same boat, then what does that mean for us as Christians in community? And it goes back to what Christ offered to Peter. When Peter was sinking, as the water went above his knees and his waist and probably even his chest eventually, what did Christ do? Christ reached out his hand and grabbed Peter. Friends, if we are to imitate Christ in many ways, that's the task before us. To figure out how we can offer that support in the midst of turmoil and storms. How we can make sure that even if we're not all in the same boat, that we can help each other into a boat that is sure. Now, another bit of contemporary wisdom, if someone falls into the pool, if someone falls into the water, what are you supposed to do? Jump in and save them, right? If you're a strong swimmer, yes. If you're a strong swimmer, yes. But I think we also know that sometimes one of the most dangerous things is someone flailing in the water, because it's really easy for someone to bring you down too, right? All right, I'm getting the thumbs up from the lifeguard. Okay. So what do we do then as Christians? How do we care for one another and support one another in the midst of a storm like this? Don't do it alone, friends. Have people you can talk to. Know when you're out of your depth and when you need to pass them on to either a pastor or a therapist or another professional. This is important, and yet, it's the thing that might save a life. Friends, we're called to help. We're called to be wise. We're called to be connected with one another. But in all things, if you find yourself slipping a little bit, or if your head is bobbing below the water, call on Christ. Call on Christ for strength, for peace, for hope, for clarity of vision to find the way through. It can be something as simple as, Lord, I don't know. Help me. You say that with me? Lord, I don't know. Help me. Oh, come on. Can we get everyone to say it? Lord, I don't know. Help me. It's these simple prayers, I think, these simple prayers that when we are at our rope's end, sometimes are the most meaningful. So friends, may you not fear the storms. May you hold fast to Christ. And may you help one another. May you help one another so that the community might shine like the sun. Because God loves you. God will not abandon you. God will not let you drown. Amen? Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you will not abandon us, that you will not let us drown, that you walk on the waves towards us into the storm, even as you leave your own storms. God, help us. Help us fix our eyes to you and your message, to your love and your grace, to the ways that you form and mold us and call us into holier people. Lord, help us focus on what the mission is. Help us focus on your hope and your promises. Lord, help us forget all of the ways that life crowds in around us. Give us strength. Give us hope. And Lord, show us a way that we might be with you. And God, help us help each other. Help us know when we're out of our depth, but also help us have courage to step out and make sure that each other is okay. God, no matter what the storm might be, no matter how old or young we are, our trust is in you. And beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of your promise. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. So as we close our service today, we invite you to stand with us and sing My Hope is Built, which can be found in your thick blueback hymnal on 368 or up on the screens.
So brothers, sisters, siblings in Christ, may you go in peace. May you know that God loves you. May you know that a path has been made. May you know that we are being formed into holiness. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God lift God's face upon you and smile, giving you peace. Go knowing that no matter the storm, God is with you. No matter what the waves and the winds might do, Christ supports you. And that no matter where you might find yourself, the community supports you as well. Friends, go in grace and go in peace and go in the love of God. And all the people said, Amen. It is Sunday. Enjoy your Sabbath. Rest. Spend it with family or spend it in peace. But today, our service has ended.